Hello and welcome to the AAT's MicroCourse podcast on letters of engagement. My name is Ayo Salam and I'm members and practice compliance manager at AAT. So, in October 2010, letters of engagement became mandatory for all AAT members in practice. Many people may ask, what is a letter of engagement and is it the same as a contract? A letter of engagement is an important document for communicating information to your client at the outset of an engagement. Is it a contract? Well, that depends entirely on the interpretation given to that agreement by the court. However, what the document is a clear set of agreements that has been reached in advance of a business relationship. A letter of engagement should define the terms and limitations of an engagement and get the client's agreement to these. In the event of a dispute or complaint regarding insufficient information or an inadequate level of service, a letter of engagement can offer significant protection to you against legal claims. So why is it important to issue a letter of engagement? Letters of engagement are very important, especially when there is a dispute within a client. In addition to setting out the terms that have been agreed in advance, it is important that you have something to refer to in the event of a dispute further down the line. To ensure that your letters of engagement are effective, it is important that the terms are very clear, easily understandable, and information is provided to the client in an accessible format. When drafting a letter of engagement or adapting existing templates, it is important to bear in mind that many clients may not be regular users of services of an accountant and may not understand technical terms. So avoid using technical terms as much as possible and present the content in an easily understandable language. A letter of engagement will be of little value if the client is not clear on what has been agreed and the level of expectation. So, you've known the client for a long time. They're your family friend. Do you still need to issue a letter of engagement? I say yes. Whilst you may have known the client for a long time and everything, the relationship has been going on smoothly for that period of time, if a dispute were to occur, it is important that you have a piece of document you can refer to which demonstrates what was agreed between you and the client at the outset of the relationship. So, what should you include in a letter of engagement? AAT has produced a template letter of engagement which you can adapt to suit your circumstances and the circumstances of your practice. The document can be downloaded from the Letters of Engagement Template section of the Members in Practice Toolkit. When using the template letter of engagement, it is important that you amend this according to the needs of the particular engagement. Avoid copying and pasting a template without reading the terms and understanding the terms you are including, as this may leave you exposed should a dispute arise in future and you intend to rely on the letter of engagement. You are ultimately responsible for ensuring that your letter of engagement meets your needs and those of your clients. If you are drafting your own letter of engagement, you should consider the following for inclusion. The following list identifies good practice and also includes some requirements of the Provision of Services Regulations 2009. An effective letter of engagement must contain as a minimum the following: the nature of the engagement, the scope of the work to be undertaken, and if appropriate, the format and nature of any report which you have to deliver to the client. Number 2, the timing of the engagement. That is, the date of which the work you're doing for the client is expected to start, and whether or not such dates are contingent on the provision by the client or others of information. It should also contain the duration of the work and the dates of which any reports are to be made. Number 3, the letter of engagement should specify whether the assignment is monthly, annual, or on a recurring basis, and whether the engagement will continue unless specifically terminated by the client. Number 4. The letter of engagement should set out the client's responsibilities, for example, as to the production of information such as records and books, their format and timing. The client should be advised, for example, that in relation to tax compliance work, you are only acting as an agent and that the client is ultimately responsible for providing accurate information. Number 5. Your letter of engagement should set out that the responsibility for the detection of irregularities and fraud rests with the client's management, and this will normally be outside the scope of the engagement. Nevertheless, it should be made clear under the terms of the engagement that the client is obliged to provide full and accurate information. Number 6. The letter of engagement should set out the basis, frequency, and the rate of your charge for services rendered, together with the treatment of expenses incurred in connection with the assignment. Where possible, and this is very important, provide the client with an estimate of your fees in advance, or details of your hourly charging rates. The incidence of any taxes should also be clearly specified. Number 7. Your letter of engagement should clearly set out how you will treat the issue of the ownership of books and records created in the engagement, and whether you will exercise a right of lien over such items if your fees remain unpaid or are disputed. You should also set out your policy on retention, destruction, and return of records if appropriate. Number 8. Your letter of engagement should set out the actions you will take on fees outstanding after the presentation of your invoice, including, for example, if you will charge an interest and at what rate, whether or not you will cease working for the client, and details of any other actions you will take to recover unpaid fees. Number 9. Your letter of engagement should set out clearly any limitations in the usage of your work by the client for a third party, and any suitable disclaimers should be included. Number 10. Any liability disclaimers in relation to acting on information supplied by the client or complying with legislation should be clearly set out in your letter of engagement. Number 11. During the provision of tax advice, you may need to touch on aspects of investment advice or insurance mediation. It is important to clearly set out that your AAT license or registration do not authorize you to conduct any aspect of investment work. If you are authorized by the Financial Services Authority to conduct investment work, you should refer to the FSA and book for appropriate wording to include in your letter of engagement. Number 12. Your obligations under the Money Laundering Regulations 2007, including due diligence, record keeping, and reporting obligations, should be clearly set out in your letter of engagement. Number 13. If you are registered with the Information Commissioner under the Data Protection Act 1998, you should inform the client of these and provide a statement on the fair handling of data. Number 14. Your letter of engagement should set out how you will deal with client monies and commissions or other benefits received for introductions to other professionals as a result of the business engagement. Number 15. Your letter of engagement should set out how you will deal with complaints about the level of services provided, including details of the principal within your practice who is responsible for complaint management. The fact that unresolved complaints can be referred to AAT should also be clearly set out in your letter of engagement. So, is it important to give all of this information in one letter? Many AAT members are worried about giving clients lengthy letters which will not be read or understood by the client. When giving information to client, there is no requirement that all of this information should be given in one single letter. For example, some practitioners may find it preferable to provide some information which are generic to all of their clients on websites or on standard documents, and to only confirm the specific details of the client's instructions in a letter of engagement. This is acceptable, bearing in mind what we said earlier about the information being given in a clear and accessible manner to the client. So what happens if your client won't sign a letter of engagement? Does that mean you can't proceed? Well, yes and no. In many cases, clients will not sign a letter of engagement because they disagree with the terms of your engagement. In such a case, you cannot proceed with acting for the client until any disagreements are resolved. However, if a client does not dispute the terms of your engagement and you can demonstrate that the client has received such a letter, by giving you further instructions to act, the client has implied consent to the content of your letter of engagement. So, in such a case, just because you have not received a signed copy of the letter of engagement from the client does not mean that you cannot continue to act for such a client. As long as you can demonstrate that the client has received the letter, the client has not disputed the letter, and the client has given you further instruction to act. So, where can you find a template letter of engagement? AAT has produced a template which is accessible on the MIP zone of the website. Like I mentioned earlier, it is important that you adapt any template to suit your particular needs. Where can you find further information? Further information on letters of engagement can be found in the MIP toolkit on the AAT letter of engagement fact sheet. This contains comprehensive guidance to members in practice on drafting letters of engagement and what to include within a letter of engagement. Thank you very much for listening.